From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's take a road trip to the southern U.S. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey, Kathy. Hey, Ross. It's summertime. Let's go on a vacation. We're going to take a trip down south. This is going to be just about the most embarrassing thing for me because I'll just apologize in advance to all of our listeners who come from the southern United States, who grew up there, who are related to that in any way whatsoever, because I have always really mispronounced everything about the South, and this is not going to get any better for me. So I'm sorry.
Well, Fletcher, we have some problems with some of these pronunciations as well. We would go every summer with our mom to Savannah, Georgia, which has a distinctive and very distinct pronunciation of many words. And a lot of these places, I have to say, we put this list up for you to read, but we're as flummoxed as you are on the pronunciation.
So we're going to visit some towns and cities in the South, and we're going to try to not embarrass ourselves when we get out of the car and say hello to the people who live in these places by saying the names of their towns and cities. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Let's get started.
Okay. We're going to start off in Louisiana, and this is a town. I will spell it out for you. Thibodaux. I would look at that, and I think reasonably, I would assume that that's pronounced Thibodaux.
You got it.
Very good.
Oh, that's
right. You got it. Thibodaux. You got it.
You know what? I actually want to thank Louisianans for sometimes doing that French stuff right.
I should have put the list. I just realized because we're zigzagging because we have Louisiana
we
lower down, but we're going to Kentucky next.
That's right. Moving on to Kentucky, a place named after a French place. So we're sticking with some of these are Frenchy, but anyway, this one Versailles. This place name comes up in other states too, and I think it's often pronounced Versailles. Is that what it is here too?
You got it.
It's Versailles.
You did it. Good show.
All right.
Very good.
Okay, let's go to Mississippi now, Fletcher. Let's see if you get this one.
Running on to Mississippi. Gautier. I mean, in French, you know it's Gautier, but there's no way that's what it is in Mississippi, right? So,
no.
Is it like just Gautier? Gautier?
No.
No,
it's just a go. Okay, T-I-E-R.
Gautier, Mississippi. I like that.
No, I'm just trying to do it with a southern accent because I'm Gautier doesn't sound right with my accent, but it would be Gautier. How would you
Gautier.
Do it?
Gautier.
We're not doing
it. We're going to make things
Sorry,
worse.
Sorry, everybody in Mississippi, don't kill
we're
us.
Just
we're
going to make
people.
Things worse.
The next two are interesting for me because I was in North Carolina for a while and I mispronounced the North Carolina one because we go to Savannah, as I said, and in South Carolina, which is nearby, people would talk about this pronounced this way.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting juxtaposition. Let's see if Fletcher gets this one right.
So this,
we have two.
Yeah, this city is spelled the same in both North Carolina and South Carolina. Like there's one in each state, but it's pronounced differently. Yeah, Beaufort. That's how it's spelled, the city in both states. Now, I think one of them is Beaufort and the other one is Beaufort, right?
Right.
Right.
Now,
Which is
Beaufort in South Carolina?
You got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Nice.
It's funny, Ross. I always lean more towards Beaufort. It's weird.
You don't remember,
it's funny.
You don't remember Aunt Sandra? Because they would go. She'd go, we're going to Beaufort. I can't do the accent. Beaufort. Like that.
I don't remember that.
They used to go to Beaufort. Uncle Louie and Aunt Sandra, they used to go to Beaufort for, I can't do it, but for a vacation. But Beaufort, something like that. I remember it distinctly.
Beaufort.
I thought, because I went to North Carolina, and I said, oh, you know, someone was going to Beaufort, which I had no idea where's that. And they said, you know.
Oh, you mean Beaufort.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, next.
Moving on to a place in Alabama, A-R-A-B. Probably not Arab Alabama. I want to say it's probably not even Arab Alabama.
Well, you were right.
Oh, I was. It is Arab Alabama. Okay, Arab. And I guess, another place in the same state. I don't know if they're close to each other. C-A-I-R-O, not Cairo, probably Cairo.
Yep. Correct. You got it. Much like right. The corn syrup.
I think most of the rest of these are going to be really, really hard. Because we're going to Tennessee. I wouldn't know how to pronounce this in any way. It's spelled. I love the way this town looks. The spelling, O-O-L-T-E-W-H-A. O-O-L-T-E-W-H-A. It looks like Ultawa. Ultawa. Ultiwa. Ultiwe. No.
Now, you were actually doing better at the beginning.
Was I? Ultawa?
It's Oodawa. It's like, so the T becomes more like a D. Oodawa.
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 Oodawa. Are you dropping the L?
Yeah.
Oodawa. Huh. Wow.
It's funny. It either means, they're not sure what it means, either owl's nest or water town, from apparently a Native American word.
Cool.
And those are two very strange, though. It's like they're very wide apart.
I know.
I like owl's nest better than water town.
Okay, the next one should be easy, but maybe it isn't.
Yeah, but maybe it isn't. Looks incredibly easy. Probably really not. It's in North Carolina. Looks like Cherryville. 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 No, I don't know. I don't know. Why would it be anything besides Cherryville?
Because it's down south.
Yeah.
It's Cherville.
Cherville.
Like the herb.
Like what herb?
No, chervil, like a green thing. Isn't it? Don't you eat chervil? C-H-E-R-V-I-L?
I've never heard of chervil.
Chervil?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. The heck is chervil? It's a plant. It's an herb in the parsley family. It's got a licorice flavor, an anise flavor.
French
Much
parsley.
Like Cherryville, North Carolina.
Chervil. Huh.
Okay, let's do the next one.
I like this duo here.
Okay, up next, we're going to Texas. I've always kind of wondered how this was pronounced, so this is good. N-A-C-O-D-O-C-H-E-S. You think it's like Nacogdoches or something. How do you say this?
Nacogdoches.
Nacogdoches.
You were pretty much there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now, what about the next one
right.
in Louisiana?
The next one looks a lot like it. N-A-T-C-H-I-T-O-C-H-E-S. So if that was Nacogdoches, this is like Natchitoches, except it's probably not. It's more like Natchitosh.
Nope, Nacogdoches.
Nacogdoches?
Nacogdoches is what they say.
Whoa. Wow. Wow. So it's not really pronounced that much differently from the one in Texas. It's just spelled a fair bit differently.
Nacogdoches comes from the tribe that was there known as the Nacogdoche, and they think it meant place of the high ground or persimmon eaters.
They always have these like, I mean, it's the same thing as the other one. They have all these like completely different things, you know?
Yeah, it's either like the shoe on the left foot
or
the whale in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just checking quickly. Nacogdoches.
Nacogdoches? Is that what you said?
However it's read. Nacogdoches.
Nacogdoches.
Means place of the pawpaw. Or place of the Caddo people.
Huh.
See, here we go again. It's like
Nacogdoches and Nacogdoches.
Right.
Fascinating.
Nacogdoches, Nacogdoches.
Wow. The next one seems like it ought to be obvious, but that's because we know about Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe, Tennessee. How do you say
that? You
this?
Got it.
It is Santa Fe.
You got it.
Obviously, I would have no idea if I went there and I just had to guess that because it's on this list. You'd just figure that was Santa Fe. Santa Fe. All right. I like that.
Santa Fe, Tennessee sounds like a good song, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Maybe not.
Maybe it is a song. I wonder. I'll bet. Next, in Louisiana again, I've always said Lafayette. I wouldn't know how else to say this. L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Mm-hmm. Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay, they say that the Louisiana one is Lafayette.
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 But now, what about the two that are in Alabama and Arkansas?
Oh, there's more.
yes.
Is one of them like Lafayette? Please tell me one of them is Lafayette.
It is.
It is. Which one?
Alabama and Arkansas, it's Lafayette.
It's Lafayette. Lafayette.
That sounds really Southern, Lafayette. You know, it does to me.
It does.
This next one I did not know, and I've thought about this place because of the, Croatan sort of thing episode, mm-hmm. and the city, which I've been to, actually. I never noticed it. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at it, Fletcher.
Yeah.
Okay, Ross, I'm double checking, and I have that it is what we always thought.
Oh, it is?
In Virginia.
Let's discuss this then. Kathy and I looked up this word. Okay, Fletcher, and we look at the word.
Okay.
The city.
Sure. R-O-A-N-O-K-E. R-O-A-N-O-K-E.
How would you pronounce it?
Yeah, I've always heard Roanoke.
That's how I would pronounce it and Kathy would pronounce it. So we looked it up and I've been there. And I do have a tendency to mispronounce things, but I don't recall anyone ever saying anything. And we looked it up and this is the dangers of looking online at pronunciations. They said it's pronounced Roanoke.
Roanoke.
Yeah, okay. Right now I'm looking at Virginia Place Names Pronunciation, which is written by some Virginia people. And they say how to talk Virginian. And they say it's Roanoke.
Roanoke, like what, without the in there?
There. My gut feel is it's an accent thing and that they don't hear Roanoke as incorrect. They hear it as that's how Yankees pronounce it. But they go Roanoke. It reminds me of sort of my aunt. Like, remember Aunt Pina, where she would always pronounce stuff with a deep Southern accent?
Oh, my God, she did. Yeah.
She would go like Coca-Cola. But if I said Coca-Cola, she wouldn't think I was wrong. She just thought, that's how I pronounce it, Coca-Cola. But no, you don't. You pronounce, it's that. I think that's what it is.
Well, when we lived in Seattle, there was a Roanoke near us on Capitol Hill, and we kept hearing people go like, "Oh yeah, you make a right on Roanoke." And it'd be like,
"Oh wow,
I think it's bad." Yeah.
Okay, do the advanced placement question.
Yeah,
this is a river on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
My goodness,
that both Ross and I have looked at. And I don't know about you, Ross. I still can't pronounce it correctly.
No.
Here, I'll spell this out. Everyone listen very closely. T-C-H-O-U-T-A-C-A-B-O-U-F-F-A. It looks like Chutakabufa.
Oh my God.
Wow. You got it.
Oh yeah? Okay. So it's what it looks like.
Gosh.
They say, okay, technically it's Chutakabufa, but most people around there just say Chutakabouf.
Chutakabouf. I like that. It also, that's sort of like that New Jersey Italian dropping the last vowel thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Chutakabufa. Chutakabouf. Chutakabouf.
That's pretty good.
That's cute.
Fletcher.
I like it.
I'm impressed.
I like it.
Yeah, this came from the Biloxi. Apparently,
is it
native?
Now, speaking of Biloxi, is the town? I think the town is Biloxi, right?
I think so.
And that's how they say it. Yeah, I said Biloxi because that's how I say things.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I probably would too. But when I hear people say the name of the town, I think they say Biloxi.
Biloxi,
I think you're right.
Definitely, it's definitely Biloxi.
Interesting.
Okay, they say, here we go again, that the Chula River derived from the Choctaw word for fox, but then some locals refer to it as the latter part, Kabafa, from the Creek language, so that they got melded, so it became like a portmanteau of two different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just got more confusing.
I'm impressed, though, Fletcher. I don't know how you got that one.
I know, you did really well, Fletcher.
I still can't figure it out.
Actually, let's go through. You're going to the South, and they have a different vocabulary as well.
Mm.
Okay, Fletcher, what do you call... Well, let's start with the freshwater lobster thingies. What do you call them?
Freshwater lobster thingies. Well, you know, it's funny. I wonder what you call them there. Here, I grew up calling them crawdads.
Okay.
I know sometimes they're also called crayfish.
Right. Mm-hmm.
what do you call them?
But now you're down south.
Yeah.
You're not calling them crawdads or crayfish right now.
Do you call them crawfish?
You got it.
Yes.
Crawfish. Okay. I knew it wasn't going to be craydad, so.
Yeah, you got it. You're speaking good.
I like craydad.
Here's the one that really got Kathy and me when we went down all the time. What do you call soda in the South?
You get a carbonated drink that's very sweet.
Yeah. Well, you would call it pop. You would call it pop, wouldn't you?
Soda pop, probably here. It's kind of mixed around here. Some people call it soda. Some people call it pop. Some people call it soda pop. Down there, well, I mean, around in Georgia, you'd call it Coke.
You got
right.
It. You got it.
Or you might also call Coca-Cola sometimes.
Coca-Cola, that's right.
Yeah, that really, we had an
without
aunt.
The A.
She had a wonderful, deep Southern accent. I just love that accent. You remember that, Kathy?
Pina,
Coca-Cola. Yeah. Coca-Cola. I can't even do it. Yeah.
Coca-Cola. I can't either.
I know.
Okay.
But Coke, let's just clarify for people maybe who don't know, Coke can refer to any kind of that, though, right? It's like, do you want to?
Oh yeah, you can get
Coke?
An orange soda.
Yeah, what
it's
kind?
A Coca-Cola.
She would, orange soda. I used to like drinking orange soda, and she'd go, "You want an orange Coke?"
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the one thing I'm curious about is, we were down south for like it was about 8 years ago, and I don't recall. I wonder if it's changed by now. I should ask some of our cousins actually. Because, you know, now with the ubiquity of like TV and all of that, has it changed at this point? I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably to some degree. But I mean, you still have like Fletcher referring to pop, which I was flipped out in Seattle when I saw an ad at the Safeco at the time, Field, looking at a Mariners game about pop. And I was like, what
oh,
the
yeah.
hell?
I know. What is that? I know. Exactly.
Where am I? You know? Okay, so you're shopping for your Coca-Cola mm-hmm. at the supermarket down south with your little thing.
Your little, like,
going
your shopping
aisle to fill.
With your shopping cart? Okay.
Yes. What are they going to call it there if you want to blend?
That's funny. I don't know. Don't some people call it a buggy somewhere? Is that in the South?
Yes.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we always just said shopping cart.
Yeah, shopping cart here. I like buggy. I think that's kind of nice.
Let's move on to one other thing, which is always interesting. Y'all.
Uh-huh,
y'all
sure.
is getting interesting because y'all is now actually expanding out of the South mm-hmm. at this point. Do you use y'all or not? I'm sort of curious about that.
A little
sure.
bit. I think I do. Yeah. Yeah. Just when I'm speaking really casually. There are times I will even type it out, though. I did not grow up saying y'all. But sometimes it's just really easy to slide into that word. It's a really easy word to say. And sometimes you don't, you know, some people don't like you guys, even though you guys is a gender neutral term to a lot of us.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And so y'all is really easy to say. It's definitely moving out of the South. I don't know how far. Mm-hmm. I don't know if somebody in New Jersey is going to say y'all, but I'll bet some people will.
I'm seeing an incredible spread of it, mainly among younger people younger than I. I know, Ross, you've always used it. I never used it. I still don't. I mean, it doesn't sound right when I say it. But it's become, like, as you said, Fletcher, I think that I say you guys, and I know that there is an issue with you guys, mm-hmm. With some. And I think that's why that and folks, which is sort of Southern, I see much more often. And I'm seeing a wide usage of it, and it tends to be among the younger.
I picked it up from mom, and I've used it, and my son's picked it up from me.
Okay.
And I use it constantly. One thing I have a good question too, because this always bothered me when someone criticized this. Do you have any problem with y'all all going?
Only that it's hard to say.
Y'all all going.
Yeah. No, you're saying y'all all going. It's two alls.
Y'all
right?
all going. Yeah.
Yeah.
That means something, and I got, like, someone said that's incorrect, but it's not, because y'all is a specific thing, and then all going.
Yeah.
You guys
all
going.
Exactly.
You guys all going.
Replace it with you guys, and it's a lot easier to hear.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is hearing y'all as a possessive, like, I went to y'all's house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I think it's a really useful word. Combination word, actually. I think it's a really good one. I like that one.
Yeah, I think people not liking it is a bit of anti-South snobbery, is what I think.
Mm-hmm. Or the opposite, or like you're appropriating something that's not yours.
But I
think it's both.
That's
I think
more
it's
like
a double-edged.
That's more like I feel uncomfortable with you saying that. I think there are people who very much look down on somebody when they say y'all. You know, just like...
Really?
Yeah. Just like, I mean, I think, you know, this is not a good thing, but people sometimes look down on people with heavy Southern accents. And...
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way that they talk, right? So what?
Well, but I was just thinking, though, it's funny. Y'all caught on. Yous, which you would argue would be the New York corollary, didn't, or equivalent, did not catch on. You never say, oh, yeah, yous are all doing this. Well, in the old days, maybe they did in New York. But I'm saying no one outside of New York in 1950 probably uses yous.
Yeah.
Yous.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Isn't there also yins somewhere?
Yeah, that's is that Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh,
I think Philadelphia? It's Pittsburgh.
It's somewhere in Pennsylvania, yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's yins. Yeah. But you have these plural yous that y'all for whatever reason is caught on and spread. And I think that a lot of that's African American English, frankly. The popularity probably spreading.
Maybe.
No? I don't know. I think it's just easy to say.
It's
real convenient, easy.
Yeah,
I think it's great to use.
Yeah.
I think people just pick it up or whatever. I think it really.
But why not yens or yous?
They don't sound as good.
I think y'all sounds nicer.
Yeah, harder. They're harder to say too.
They're also a lot more Southerners. Your yens is Pennsylvania, small area. Yous is a small area of New York, and there are lots of y'alls in the South.
It's true. It's a big area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fixing to go to the next comment.
Fixing.
Uh-huh. Fix it.
Yeah.
That's a praise. That's popular among Southerners. I'm fixing to go to the store or whatever, about to go to the store. Now that one, I don't know how common that is nowadays.
Oh no, it's more common, I'm sure, than it used to be. I hear that from people. I don't think I would have heard that from 30 years ago.
Okay. That's interesting.
Have you, either of you, ever used fixin' to do something?
No,
I never have in my life.
No, I haven't. No. Living in Kansas, you get influences from all over just because we're right here in the middle. So that was not an unusual thing for me to hear, but it wasn't super common.
Okay. Actually, the whole concept of doing something, late 14th century, fix, to set your eyes or your mind on something, from the 14th century. So I'm thinking it's Appalachian.
Yes, I think it probably is. I think you're
just
right.
Realized that. Yeah, I don't know. I just suddenly got curious when we were talking because I didn't look it up. Fixing to. I kind of want to start saying fixing to, but it just doesn't. When I also can't say fixing to confidently.
Well, it's funny because
I would say fixing to, which is wrong. Go on.
But I guess this is a Northeastern perspective, because y'all doesn't sound weird to me at all if someone says it. Fixing to sounds like, where are you from? You're not from around here. Don't you hear that too, Kathy?
Yeah, I agree with you. It sounds different to my head.
If someone in New York City said, which is where, you know, we both live for so many years, if someone said, like, where are y'all from? That wouldn't hit me. If someone said, where are you fixing to go, Ross and Kathy? I'd go, well,
where the hell
I just
are you
don't
from?
Know. Yeah, I don't rightly know, you know, that sort of thing. I think it has a different tone to it.
I think so. Like, oh my. Yeah. Homage. No, I don't think so.
I think the three of us have a really big blind spot here, too, which is African-American dialects.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's exactly what I was saying with you all, frankly.
Yeah.
We're all white, middle-class people. Yeah. No, totally. It's
Although
true.
I just looked up something very quickly on fixin' to, and apparently it's widespread by both black and white speakers. Mm-hmm. However, there's a contracted variation, finna.
Finna. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Finna, yeah. Which is African American vernacular English. So there is that. Mm-hmm. How they're saying here, I mean, there's no real way of being sure about it, but fixin' to seems originally just generic to the South without any specific racial connotation or context. Finna is not.
Yep.
Is definitely
I'm fitting to go to the store.
African-American vernacular. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is interesting.
Yep.
And I'm curious now, but I think probably y'all is the same sort of thing. I think it probably is a Scots-Irish settler thing, and then it basically just became, you know, standard Southern English in that sense.
What fascinates me, though, in this whole discussion is, as I'm looking at stuff too, the fact that there is like walking side by side of Southern Anglo and African American English.
Yeah.
The Southern Anglo, a lot of it's, as we were saying, the Highland Scots, the Irish, etc. And then you have the African American, and they're both doing almost exactly the same thing.
Well, of course, because they're speaking to each other.
No, but I know. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, it ends up blurring, if you will. You can't really say can't this separate. Is that and that's that. Yeah, no, you can't.
But you can to some degree, because there are like words like Yoruba words that entered into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Clearly into English from, you know, from the African area. So in that sense, yeah.
Well, bless your heart, Ross.
Well, bless my heart. I'm in the mood for some barbecue and some gumbo. I'm in the mood to go to the South right now. Yeah. I have to say one thing for Savannah. They have some of the best restaurants I think I've ever eaten in. Casual, great restaurants. Really, and they have really fancy restaurants too. But some of the food that you get from a little small restaurant is fabulous. Like shrimp. Mmm.
Brunswick stew. I love Brunswick stew.
Ooh, gosh.
As it often does, our talk turns to food.
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? I was going to say, because bless your heart, bless your heart. I can't do the right out of bless your heart. Our cousin Melanie has that down pat with bless her heart.
I don't think I don't think we can say the translation for that on the air. I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Well, actually, I mean, everything says online. That's a passive-aggressive insult. Mm-hmm. But then I also kept finding a lot of Southerners say, oh, no, we usually say it meaning to be nice. It's rarely an insult.
Hmm.
And then I think of some of our relatives, and I think, I don't know. Every time I've heard them use it.
I don't know. I was working with this incredibly Southern woman. And she would use it with the supervisor in a very negative way, yeah. I have to say.
Oh, boy.
Well, bless his heart. Bless your heart. I mean, she meant it that way. She also would say, God love him was another one.
Oh, yeah.
That she would
talk. Oh, yeah. God love him. Yeah. I got to say, they've elevated. It's perfect because it's like, it's so polite. You can't say, it's like, bless your heart. And you just like picture someone like rocking on with lemonade on a porch going, well, yeah, bless your heart.
It's okay. I'm leaving now.
I just want to say, though, I love it because they said it's a double-edged. This is one phrase I saw, which makes it uniquely Southern. It shields both speaker and listener from harshness, coating criticism in sugar.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Like, although they were saying that you can tell the difference. Tone, timing, and the slow drawl of delivery decide whether it's genuine or tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, man.
Now, that talks about nuance up the wazoo. That's, like, really tough to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Well, bless your heart, Ross.
Oh, boy.
God
love
them all.
That was the good kind, right? That was the good kind. Yeah.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.